Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. And started a discussion last week on the pitfalls of inheriting money. Now, who knew there were pitfalls, but you've seen some in your practice, Paul.
That is true, and I'm so glad that our listeners have been able to tune in today. It's great to have them. So welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. We're talking about the legacy part of this show. Is I'm blessed to be an attorney, and I have a specific skill set of doing estate planning. Obviously, the faith part is that I love Jesus Christ above all else and want to make sure that we have a strong blend between my skill set versus what does the Word of God say, and how should we be thinking as the body of Christ as it relates to inheritances and estate planning specifically. So yes, we've seen a lot of different pitfalls in our firms. We've talked about statistics in last week's show. You should head over to legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts are there, so catch up on the show from last week. We talked about that inheritors, or actually lottery winners, have an 80% chance of going to bankruptcy. And that actually the stats are not much better. 70% of inheritors will actually squander everything.
Within 18 months, you
yeah, said. Usually yeah. About 18 months.
Is no matter how much it was.
Yep, it's real darn close. Another article out of the UK said that 40% of inheritors before they've inherited, so before anyone has passed away, has already determined what they're going to do with their inheritance. So in other words, money is on the minds of people, is really the bottom line. And we live in this earthly system, and so of course money is a large driving source of our daily lives. It should not overtake our hearts, but it is certainly a topic that actually Jesus talked about almost more than any other topic that came out of his mouth. And so the New Testament is full of issues concerning money. And so we got to talk about how do we appropriately leave finances from one generation to another generation with the intent and with the purpose that the gospel of Jesus Christ continue to be spread throughout the earth with what God has given to you. And I went last week to 1 Corinthians 4:2, which says, moreover, it's required that stewards, of stewards, that they be found faithful. So in other words, Paul is saying, if you are a steward, and we talked about what that word means, it doesn't mean to hoard, and it doesn't mean that you're frugal. That's actually kind of what most people have made stewardship to be about, is, well, be frugal, don't spend money. Actually, it means to be an administrator of distributions. So we are to be distributors of what has been put into our hands, not hoarders or builders. And so, that's why I often say that your stewardship does not end when you die. One of the biggest things that drives me nuts is, well, I'll be dead, so it doesn't matter to me. Yes, it does, because we're to continue to be administrators of distributions at our passing. And God has given you, whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot, you have a duty that of continuation of distribution and getting it right. And so the first thing that I always encourage people about is, well, what does God put on your heart concerning that final distribution? Is it supposed to be something that is continued towards the body of Christ? Is it supposed to go to your family? Is it supposed to go to a mix? So most of the time, we don't have strong conversations around that topic, and really, we need to have more conversations about what does it mean to be a good steward when it's your actual time to go home. And it's not just to mimic or mirror the way that the world does it, which is, I'm just going to give it to my kids, and I'm gone, and hands off, and it's all done and over. I don't see that as a biblical model. So therefore, if that's not the biblical model, there has to be a different solution. Mm. And I think it starts with good estate planning. We need to have the conversation to find out and elicit what has God put on your heart, and then how do we get good documents around you so that the vision that he's placed in your heart will actually be carried out when you're no longer here to carry it out.
Is there a way to create a plan then that can force your beneficiaries to be more responsible?
Or yes.
There is ways.
Oh, yes.
To control the pocketbook beyond the grave?
Yeah, we can always do control mechanisms. Now, is it control or guidance? I don't care. I like the word guidance because okay. Most people are offended by the word control. But yes, there's always ways that we can develop plans to ensure that your vision of stewardship is actually carried out. Now, let's talk about two basic differences here. Number one is that we can use a will-based plan. So that is when you have a will and power of attorneys backing that up. And a will is just a check writing instrument. Now, there is a thing called a testamentary trust, which is that you use a will document, but then you throw a trust in there. They don't work. They're antiquated. If that's what you have, please head over to legacyandfaith.com and let's talk. But it's really an antiquated way of doing estate planning. So if you can use a will, but a will is simply like a beneficiary designation. It tells us who is going to be in charge and where the money goes. That's really what a will does. And that's about as good as using a beneficiary designation, which is like if you have an IRA, if you have a bank account, maybe the financial institution asked you, who do you want the money to go to when you die? And so then that's a legal contract, and it goes around probate, it goes around the will. That's a big problem because sometimes your beneficiaries are not saying the same thing as what your will does. So there's oftentimes a disconnect between those two mechanisms, but they effectively do one thing, which is they get money to a named individual. But that's all that it does. It writes a check, and then it's money in the hands, and that's where last week's show of all the statistics of, well, within 18 months or less, that money is going to be gone for the average individual. 70% or more will just simply spend everything within 18 months. So therefore, the other option we have when we do estate planning is to use a trust-based system, which is we develop a revocable living trust. Revocable means you're in full power and control. Living means we put in instructions to make sure that you're going to be taken care of during your lifetime and that your money is going to be spent in the way that you want it to be utilized for your benefit. Mm. And then the trust part is those are the instructions. Those are the instructions on how someone else inherits when you are gone. Now, in that, we can do multiple things. We can simply give money away still. We can still write a check out of a trust. Oftentimes, we will do that to ministry, specifically if it's a smaller sum. Hey, give $10,000 to my church. Okay, well, we'll just grab the checkbook. We'll write out the check from the trust, and your church will get $10,000. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a great start. But for kids, we can manage and assist them long-term. Now, specifically if you have minor children or if you're listening to this show and you have grandkids, you got to get your kids, that means, to do good estate planning. So for minors, we can actually develop a trust that is held and managed by an adult until the kids are usually, hopefully, at least 25 or 30 because, if you give 18 and 21 and 25-year-olds money, it's going to be gone even faster than the statistics. So that's one thing that we do specifically with minors or with younger children. But even for adults, there's opportunities to make monthly distributions. So in other words, it becomes a blessing to them on a monthly, long-term basis so that it increases what's in their hands and they learn to utilize and manage that and give it back out. We can give guidances to, hey, we want you, and it's our desire. It's not a mandate, but it's our desire that you think about being or continue what we have done as far as building the kingdom of God. So we want you to be charitably minded in what is left in your trust. And so there's some trusts are built in ways that you give money out every 5 years. So really, when using a trust, there is an unlimited opportunity. As long as it's legal, I can do anything. So I can't invest in the Nicaraguan drug cartel. That's illegal, and so we can't do that. But other than doing something that is illegal or morally not acceptable, there's case law that says you must marry somebody of a certain religion or certain ethnicity, and if you don't, then you don't get your inheritance. Those types of things have been found unethical in law to do. But otherwise, as long as it's not illegal and it's ethical, according to law, then we really have any opportunity to do whatever you want. We can give a portion of it to charity, have the kids manage it. I do that a lot so that the kids are managers and that caretaker, that stewardship from 1 Corinthians that we were reading over, that they could be found faithful with a portion that you've left behind. But now the kids are managing it instead of you managing it. But those rules around that certain portion of money is that, well, but it must be given out in a manner that promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now you've turned that managerial, that stewardship over to the kids. And so it's really not just can we design something for the kids. We can design something for ministry purposes so that the heart of your heart that God has given you to continue to be generous can continue to happen long after you're gone. So one of the questions is, do you want to simply write a check to a church or to a missionary, or would you rather set aside a portion that is given to the continuous work? So you could have a legacy that goes on for 5, 10, 20 years, depending on how much you have and what your vision is. And one last thought here, just as we head into break, is that many people treat ministry or the gospel as a child. So if I have two kids, so instead of splitting my stuff 50-50 with this thought mentality, I would actually add the kingdom in as my third child. So then it's split up a third, third, and third. And so I'm taking care of my household because there is a biblical mandate to take care of your household. Otherwise, you could be found worse than a sinner. And so we take care of our household, and then we also take care of God's household. Well, so some people have the thought process that I'm going to add ministry as another child, or other people just say, you know what, 50% to ministry, 50% to my family, and that's our starting point. So other people just do 10% to ministry and the rest to family. Look, it's unlimited of what you want. The whole purpose and the whole point, though, is what portion, and are you thinking about the continuation of your generosity when in your estate plan? And the unfortunate part is that I have seen most Christians not come to the table with that mentality in mind. And so I want to change that. I want to be a voice to the body of Christ that says, but this is so critical that we change our thought process from just saying, it goes to my kids in however many I have divided equally. I am going to suggest that that is the world's way of managing money, and it may not be God's way. Now, if God has told you to do that, then do it. Then that is God's way for your family. But as a starting point, what if we started a shift in our mentality that says, I am going to take care of the body of Christ in an equal measure, minimally, as I am my family? I think we could be, I think that what God has given us to steward over could be so much more powerful if we just start with that thought.
Okay, some of the pitfalls of inheriting money, but they can be managed if you plan and have a plan. And if people are listening today and they want to find out more about your services, Paul, how do they get in touch with you?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's educational sessions coming up. And, well, there's ways to communicate with me as well. So give me your thoughts. Give me your questions, your ideas for shows. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
And back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
I'm with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show, this week with Paul Grant, looking at inheriting money, avoiding some pitfalls, some common pitfalls. And Paul, I would assume a lot of the people you deal with in your practice are Christians, do you see a lot of difference between Christians and non-Christians in the way they handle this subject?
Yeah, unfortunately, the answer is no.
Really?
There are certainly some clients who come in with the thought process that I just laid out, which is, well, I want to make sure that ministry is as much a part of my plan as what my family is. Mm. But the overwhelming majority of clients that I assist still have, I want to make sure that my family is taken care of. Now, there could be extraordinarily good reasons to take care of your family as the most relevant or the main reason that you're doing estate planning. And I get that. And I've, like I mentioned before break, if that's what God has put on your heart, then do that. And so we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit is communicating to us because He has found it good, and that's the beauty of the New Testament when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, that He comes and He lives in us. That's the supernatural exchange that we get. And so by His leading in us, we're going to trust that leading. We're going to trust that He is giving us, the Prince of Peace is giving us that peace that leads us to the right decisions. So I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not here and trying to rearrange what the Holy Spirit has put into your heart. My biggest and my first issue is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the King of Glory trying to communicate as far as it relates to estate planning? And so if we don't have a sense of where we're going, then that's where I can hopefully come in and maybe, like I've been talking about today, give you some ideas to consider and prayerfully consider. And I really encourage the body of Christ to prayerfully consider, what am I supposed to do with my final act of stewardship, which is, again, administrate distributions. It's not to hoard. And so if that's our thought process, then that's good. And I want to go to Matthew 25 really quick. It's the discussion where Jesus was talking about the talents, and again, it's just this thought process. I'm trying to shake the tree a little bit to see if I can get some individuals thinking a little bit differently today, which is It's the parable of the talents, to where we get five talents, two talents, and one talent. And the five and the two, they go out into the marketplace and they use it. But the individual, the servant with the one talent, number one, he had a wrong perception of who God was. He thought he was a taskmaster, and that he reaped where he didn't sow, and that he harvested where he didn't plant. Well, that's actually inaccurate. So he had a wrong view of God. So that's number one. That is not the right perspective of God. That's not what this story is saying. He had an inaccurate one. But then it says something amazing, which is that he actually, in verse 25, so Matthew 25, 25, the steward said, "I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the earth. So I am returning what is yours." Well, isn't that interesting? He took what was given by God and he put it into the earth's system where it did not grow. So the longer we hold on to the mentality of the world, the longer we hold on to, but that's what I've heard, just to split things between the kids. I am going to propose to you that that is the earth's system and it may not be God's system. Now, I'm using words very cautiously. It may not be, God says. I'm not proclaiming anything. I am giving you room to listen to the Holy Spirit for yourself and encouraging you to find out what does God say to you individually, because then that's the right thing to do for you and your family. Not my perspective, but what is God's perspective for you? And I just think that there is a much greater opportunity to be good stewards for a longer period of time than just our lifetime. And so it starts by good planning. Now, what I've actually seen when people use trust is that the spending is greatly slowed down. And so there is money for beneficiaries for a much, much longer period of time, and it is not spent in 18 months or less. It is actually utilized in a more integrous manner. I'm not saying that beneficiaries are using it for generosity. They are typically using it for their own purposes in life. So it's still kind of coming back to, how do I build my own kingdom and do I get the car? But when a trust is properly administrated and managed, then it appears that because of the integrity of the trust and the way that the system is built, that beneficiaries are slower to make decisions with their finances. And so just by using a trust model instead of here's your check, it appears that in my system of trust, that it actually slows down the spending urge. Now, here's another thought for listeners to kind of weigh and consider, which is, not only can we give out money on a monthly basis or over a period of years to make sure that it's used wisely and used over a period of time, but we can actually hold money, restrict money for a period of time. So, you know, that UK article that says it takes 19 days for someone to buy a new car when they get their inheritance. I think we talked about that last week. And so a 2007, I think, I can't remember the date of the article, says that it takes 19 days before a beneficiary buys a new car. Now, let's stop and think about this practically. Someone just lost a parent. I'm assuming that's how they received their inheritance. There are other mechanisms. Aunts and uncles can pass away, distant relatives. So there are some people who get surprise inheritances. But typically, most inheritances come through someone that we are closely connected with and closely emotionally connected with. So now someone has just lost their parent, and whether that's a good relationship or a bad relationship, what emotional state is that person in? And now they're going to go out and make a $20,000 to $40,000 decision within 19 days of losing somebody that they are close to. Do you think that there is an opportunity that they will regret that financial decision? I've never had anyone come back to me and say, you know what? I am so glad that I spent all my parents' money. Look at my new car. No, typically it is, dang, I wish I was a little bit slower in making the financial decisions that I made. Well, a really good plan could be, well, then let's create a window where they don't have the accessibility. Yes, we can give them some accessibility to make sure that they can do what they need to do. But what if we created a plan that had gaps in it so that they could emotionally can catch up? So these are just ideas. The big takeaway from today's show, I really want people to hear again, is what is God putting on your heart? How much of a stewardship, administrating distributions, is supposed to be a part of your estate plan? That assumes two things. Number one, that you are doing an estate plan is the assumption of this conversation. And number two, that you're actually prayerfully considering it and not just doing what you've seen other people do. And so those are the two big takeaways from today's show. I hope it's been a blessing for you.
Okay, avoiding some of those pitfalls in inheriting money this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. If people are intrigued, they want to find out more about your planning services, how do they get in touch with you?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, ways to communicate with us, upcoming educational sessions, legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. More of the Legacy and Faith Show next time here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.